everyone. Welcome to week 7 of the Are You The One Rehapa podcast. My name is Allie Lasher, and here with me, as always, to excitedly recap the shenanigans from this week's episode is my co-host, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's up?
Nothing much, just ready to recap.
I guess what's up is a weird question when somebody's on a podcast. Like, oh, I'm just filing my taxes and also
it's a respectful question to start things off. Like, I guess you could say, how are you? But I feel like that's outplayed. So I think what's up is good. Like, oh, I'm just sitting here, you know?
hanging out. So we talked a bit quickly before we jumped on because, you know, you don't just get on and record. Quick episode, just quick and dirty. I don't know, quick and to the point here this week.
No, it's like just like Tomas likes it, just quick and soft.
Oh, so sad.
I'm really jinxing myself for the future, but
this week has been difficult enough, Adam. No,
I know.
One thing where we sort of left off last week between Kwasi and Cam, this heated fight that was pretty disgusting on Kwasi's end. About Kayla, we see Kwasi take a big shove. We pick up this week, no discussion of the shove at all. No even, like, producer intervention saying that's not okay. No Terrence saying that's not going to be tolerated. Were you surprised that this, like, violence didn't get addressed?
Yeah, I was originally going to, like, try to, like, ask this question. Did they just kind of, like turn the other cheek? Like, do they just want violence now? Because, like, there was a time where, like, on MTV, if you shove someone, like, you were done. Like, if you put physical contact with someone else, you were done. Now it feels like maybe it's just Are You The One that they don't care.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, and Brian and I have talked about this in sort of the evolution of the challenge policies on violence. It really has been over the course of, I guess, my entire career watching the challenge, but I can really only say with any authority since I've been podcasting since, I guess, 2014. Originally, it was always sort of a joke that MTV really didn't, it was like 50-50 on whether or not they decided to kick you off or replace your partner, or the whole team gets kicked off. Like, it was, there was no streamlined process. There was no, you could not rely in any way on what would happen in any sort of violent occurrence. Then I feel like we entered an era where they became really strict in the last year. Like, you're violent, you're racist, you fight, you're done. And I think that kind of goes with the times we live in. And I think that's pretty fair that they do that now, just to say.
Yeah.
But with Are You The One, it kind of harkens back to MTV's original approach, which is we do what's best for us and what's best for the format. And if we have someone available, and it all depends on us. And I think the reason I say that is because Are You The One really, really suffers if someone gets kicked off. I don't know how they would address it. We saw Mike, as we talked about last week, got kicked off, but that was the last week of the show and they just had his match sit next to no one, but I don't, they can't carry that on through. This was the sixth matchup, five more matchups, whatever it is. So I think this is really, I feel like I'm rambling and no one's following me per usual, but I just think it's unfortunate that MTV treats it out of their convenience, what's best for them, what's best for the show, rather than the measure of violence of what happens. It's like, if Kwasi shoves Cam really hard or hits Cam on the last episode, maybe he goes home. If he does it episode 8, he's probably fine for a few more weeks.
Do you think there's, like, they take, like, some of their stipend away? Like, do you think there's some sort of, like, maybe penalty? Like, I feel like there would have to be something, but I feel like there's a great chance that there isn't any penalty and they're just like, okay, like, fight. As long as you guys are okay, we're okay.
Yeah, I imagine the rule is something like open hand, closed hand. There's still that sort of slap, push, punch dynamic or going on. I think a shove like this wouldn't normally get him sent home, but I'm surprised that Terrence, and I imagine they probably didn't dock his stipend, although that's probably on the table. I just think Terrence should have at least said, this is not cool. Like, we should have gotten the TJ-esque PSA from Terrence.
Yeah, and it's also, I want to point out that the two people in the last two seasons that have pushed or shoved have both been from my hometown. So I'm just going to throw that out there as well.
All right, but let's bring the focus back to Kayla here in this fight. We get sort of Kayla's really hurt by what's happened, and Cam once again is back to the hero edit. And we sort of get this throughout the episode. Like, are we just done with the narrative that Cam is maybe moving on from Kayla?
I guess so, because he seems like even more jealous. I think it was the fact that just another guy was interested, which is like the worst reason to like kind of really okay, now I'm going to be all in because someone else is interested in her. It's like awful. But I think that's probably what happened. Like, he saw Kwazi take an interest in Kayla, and he's like, oh, okay, I don't want that to happen. And now he's like nervous and jealous if she goes on dates. So yeah, we are really seeing like a full turn here.
And I also wonder what, I totally agree about the jealousy factor, but also, would we be seeing a different story if Callie was interested in Cam?
Yes, I really think that he would, because it seems like he was like almost moving on from Kayla when Callie was interested. But now all of a sudden he's like, nope, nobody else is there, so I'll go to Kayla. And I feel bad because it's like she's probably, based on like how she's spoken and seeing her ex, she's gotten treated crappy before. So I'm just nervous that he's putting on the good guy cape, and after the show he's going to be not as committed to this.
I fully see that, fully. I still, just like you're saying, I totally get the vibe that she's way more into him, so that totally adds up with what will happen after the show.
Yeah, no, I think, I would bet that they're not going to make it last. But you know what? Crazier things have happened.
We also get an interesting technique from Kwazi. I'm curious if you, Adam, also have your own technique of transitioning from beast to chimp mode.
It's tough. Like, sometimes, honestly, I'll do like 6 miles around in my house. Like, I'll walk 6 miles in my house and I'll calm myself down. But I feel like that's the only thing that does it.
You don't shower off the beast?
No, I've never showered off. I actually haven't showered in a few weeks, so I really don't know what that feels like.
I'm glad this is an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You can't, even if it was video, you wouldn't be able to smell me, so we'll be okay.
I don't like to look at gross people, you know?
That is true.
Let's talk about Asia and Lewis the whole way through, shall we? Because we get it's yes. Sort of their story broken out in little vignettes. It's a little tragedy unrolling before unraveling before our eyes.
It was an uphill battle for almost. I have a lot actually to say about this because usually I'm like, wow, like I feel like I'm very one-sided. I feel like this one I kind of went back and forth. So I'm curious to see your take on this as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, I don't think there's clear sides. I think some people could have handled things a little bit better. But what's interesting here is like the edit we're getting mostly with Asia and Lewis is like Lewis is, or I think we're supposed to think that Lewis is leading Asia on. But it's and yes. Like the house believes that they're a couple, like Kenya and Asia as narrators are like they spend all their time together. But in the conversation with Samantha and Asia, it seems like Samantha and maybe other people in the house are aware that they're not really a couple, because Samantha is saying, like, have you even asked him if he likes you?
And that's the thing that I think I kind of struggled with when I want to see, I do see Asia's side and she's like, well, he lays next to me every night, but there's so many signs that he's not into her. Like, he hasn't made a move. He doesn't tell her how he feels. Even when she asks him that first time, he's kind of like, well, we're not there. And I think you can clearly, at least from my perspective, see that he's trying to be polite, you know, like he's trying to be nice. He doesn't want to hurt her feelings. He knows she likes him, but at the same time, like, he's not being fully honest, which is leading her on even more.
He also hooked up with her best friend. I feel like that's also a sign.
Yeah, he got topped off.
And if, like, Samantha didn't know from this going into the conversation that they didn't really have a connection, Samantha then uncovers that Asia has literally never talked to Lewis. Like, and not only do you not know if he likes her, does he know that you like him? Do you know if he's ever been in a relationship before? And she's like, oh, no, I really like to, like, let him tell me things. So she knows nothing about him.
And then as we progress through this episode, we see that people are getting frustrated with Lewis. But isn't this kind of like, I don't know if I want to say double standard, but like if he slept with her and didn't have feelings for her, they'd all hate him. But if they're upset that he's not making a move on her because clearly he's not interested. So I'm just saying, like, wouldn't this be worse if he slept with her and then let her on further? Like, isn't he doing, even if he's not fully being upfront, which is wrong on his part, isn't he doing more of a right thing than if he was just to use her and then just kind of not pursue her?
Oh, I totally agree. Like, I was so confused when they get to the matchup later and everybody's calling him out for not having laid a hand on her, which is a very weird thing to say because that does not sound consensual. But like, the fact that they're calling her out, like, oh, you have a beautiful woman next to you and you don't do anything about it, like, you're blowing your chance. Do you think he would blow his chance if he wanted a chance? Like, it's so sad, but also so clear that he's not interested in her. And yes, you're right. He's leading her on because he's not vocalizing it. And he's saying sort of like, oh, well, right now we're at a friend level. Right now it's not romantic. But look, at the end of the day, these girls are falsely operating under the assumption that Louis reciprocates Asia's feelings, and that's why they're on her about it, but they're not on him about it, but they're not even considering the possibility that he just doesn't feel the same way.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair, and it doesn't matter the sex or anything. I don't think it's fair that people say, well, look what's in front of you. Like, if someone's not attracted or not interested in someone, it's not their fault. That's just how they feel. Not everyone's going to be attracted to everyone else. And, like, this has happened millions and millions of times in the world where someone just doesn't like the person that likes them. It's fine. It happens. And now, when he says it to her point blank, like, look, I'm just not attracted to you, do you think that was a must at that point? Like, do you think he had to say it like that, or do you think he could have went about it a different way?
No, I mean, I think at this, like, I think Louis, Asia hits the nail on the head at the top of the episode when she's talking to Samantha by saying Louis doesn't know how to talk to women. Like, I don't think Louis knows how to really communicate. He does kind of operate with, like, childlike sensibilities, and things are jokes to him. I agree with the criticisms people made, besides that he doesn't sleep with her or, quote, lay a hand. But, there were a million other ways to say the same thing. Like, I'm just not feeling it on the same way you are. I don't reciprocate those feelings. I feel like we're really just friends. Oh, now that you've asked me over this romantic game of cornhole, I actually do kind of think we're just friends and should meet, or we should maximize our opportunities, and maybe we might not be a match and we should talk to other people. Like, you could say it in a thousand different ways.
Yeah.
It did seem like Louis was surprised that Asia didn't know this. Like, he was like, oh, I thought I've, like, told you that. Do you think Louis has said anything to her before this conversation that we just didn't see?
Maybe. I was thinking more that just, like, okay, if they sleep next to each other every night and they have yet to even cuddle. Like, she's like, the way she's describing it, it's like the most obvious thing. She's like, you don't cuddle, like, we don't kiss. Like, it's like, why? And I feel like that's so clear. It's like, okay, well, if someone's sleeping next to you, they have every opportunity to make a move if they're interested, and they're not. Like, that's the answer right there. So I don't know if he's communicated. I would honestly, just based on watching it, I would lean towards no. But I think he was just assuming that the signs were enough for her to kind of pick up what's going on.
And I agree with you. And I feel bad for Asia, because I don't even think she really liked Louis. I think it was sort of like, oh, this is the first person I've connected with, so we should be a match and, like, try to force it. Like, I don't think Louis was the right man for Asia. Maybe her feelings were real, but I think they were a little misguided. As far as their connection, we haven't really seen it. It has been seeming like Asia's been sort of trying to force it. And you're right in the sense that, like, she should have picked up on those signals. At the same time, I could see, like, you're on a dating show. You don't really have other prospects. You're going to put your eggs in this basket of a guy who's been a great friend to you, and he sleeps next to you. He doesn't have to do that. He could go pursue, like, she says, oh, we'll pursue other connections. And he's like, I have been. Like, he's kind of a jerk about it. But, like, have you really, if you're spending all of your nights next to me, like, that does, even if there's no touching, that definitely communicates some level of intimacy. Not to the point where I would be, like, putting him on blast for not, quote, laying a hand on me. But it's definitely not nothing. And I do feel bad for Asia in that respect.
No, you're right. That I guess it's also when you're in this crazy house, it's. You're trying to figure out where everyone's heads at and where their hearts are at. And I guess just based on how often they talk and the connection they have, even if it's not physical, it's tough to just kind of ignore that. So I'm sure that's where she was, like, okay, like, this guy's talking to me every night. We have these great conversations. I get why she'd believe that maybe there's something more there.
It did absolutely kill me when everyone's trying to speak for Louis at the matchup ceremony. And, like, Andrew offers, like, well, maybe, like, sex is, like, more to him, like, means nothing to him, so the connection he has with you is, like, more important. I forget what Louis's clapback is, but it's something like, don't talk for me. Like, that's not it. You know, like, it's just like he's everyone is trying to craft this narrative for Asia that Louis is into her, and Louis is like, no, that's not it. Like, I would have sex with somebody. I'd have sex with anyone here. Like, it just it killed me.
And Andrew gets his line into the episode and he makes it count.
Yeah, I know. It's like his first appearance.
Yeah, in the show.
I just choked while I said that, so that was fun for everyone.
Andrew's, I guess, haunting us, so we gotta stop talking about him.
We did get a question, and I guess this is gonna really make you pick sides. Jennifer O'Hara says, Team Asia or Team Lewis?
Oh, God. It's tough to choose any of these guys and be team them. I feel like, because most of them are just douchebags. And, like, based on what we've seen, I don't think we've seen Lewis be too much of an ass, minus saying, like, I'm not attracted to you straight up. But I think Asia has a better head on her shoulders. Like, I think she's a better human overall. So I'm going to say Team Asia for the long haul. But for this battle, I do think that she wasn't handling it perfectly.
Yeah. And one thing on the, this just reminded me of that. Not only does Lewis say she's not attractive to him, but he, like, it's sort of twists where she's like, so you're saying you want me to, like, dress in a different way that's more attractive? And he's like, yeah. I don't think that's what he meant. I think he meant to just say, like, I'm not into you. And, like, she took it as, like, oh, you want me to, like, act sexier? Because he was saying, like, I'm not attracted to you, but, like, you know, sometimes you could see someone and be like, oh, that's sexy, and you can build that. And I thought he more meant, like, I'm not attracted to you right now. Like, it was a soft rejection. Like, maybe we can grow to be attracted to each other. And then when she was like, so you want me to act sexier? And he was like, yeah, that's what I need. Like, that was cringe. I've been saying cringe now because of you and Love Island. That was totally cringy. But I felt like he sort of backed himself into that by accident.
No, yeah, and I feel like all he had to say was, like, in that situation, like, no, I still think that, like, we're not gonna, like, I feel like he was just kind of trying to, and I know this conversation, I think it happens all the time, where people are just trying to kind of make sure that they don't hurt someone so bad and give them this little level of hope so it doesn't just crush them. And I think that's exactly what he was doing. And rather than just being like, all he had to say was she'll look nice, but it's not going to work out. But I think now she's going to just try dressing a different way and hopefully winning his heart back.
Speaking of not going to work out, let's talk about Mo.
Oh, Mo, poor Mo, right? Like, and maybe not because everyone's saying he makes no connections, but I still feel bad for him for some reason.
You know, the show is reaching for content when Mo is probably the second biggest part of the episode.
So we were wrong then. Like, we said maybe he's just going to, like, slide under the radar and never get anything. He's being featured because he's not making connections with anyone. And I think last season we had more than one person like this, but this season seems like it's only Mo. So he's getting this nice little feature of, well, Mo just does nothing all day. So let's talk about
him. And Mo is, like, acting like he's in prison. Like, he's starting to be like, I'm going to appreciate women so much more when I go home. Like, after being locked away with these 11 gorgeous women that I can't speak to, God, I've really learned to appreciate the women in my life.
And maybe what he's translating is to, I'm going to use this new form of 8,000 followers on Instagram to hook up with girls in my hometown.
Would you say his mojo?
Yes, that's, yes, his mojo, for sure. That is top notch.
Yeah, Mo is not the first man to be criticized on Are We the One for not doing enough to make connections. We see later Lewis sort of call him out. Is it Mo's fault? Is there more Mo should be doing? And if so, what should Mo be doing?
Well, if he's saying, like, I've not made connections with enough people, I feel like it's kind of obvious that it is his fault. And I'd be the first to defend Mo. I think he's the type of guy that's kind of, like, not as, like, in your face. And, like, you clearly see with Quasi, he's the type of human to, like, kind of just go talk to a girl and, like, spit his game. It doesn't seem like Mo's like that. So I think this just environment, he might have expected it to come to him a bit more, when in reality he's the one who has to go out and find a girl and make, see if she's interested and spit game. And I feel like that's just not him. So I do think, as much as I'd like to not blame Mo, I'm going to blame Mo on this one.
And see, it's hard for me. I would totally have blamed Mo up until this episode, and I totally agree with your assessment. But Mo, like, takes a swing this episode. He gets, and we'll talk about the change of the fate button, but Mo gets the opportunity to go on a date. He takes a swing. He chooses Kayla, and then he's on the boat. And it's shocking that he can get a word out despite Kayla's motion sickness. She seems to be enjoying the boat, but he's saying these things about her. He's saying, like, you're a great woman. I think you're beautiful. Like, he's giving, you know, he's got mojo on this date. Yeah. And it happens to be that it's too little too late. It happens to be that Kayla can't be pulled from Cam. But I don't think that he's doing nothing in this situation.
That's true. You're right. I do think that I'm not sure if this was maybe the first time Mo kind of put himself out there, but the thing is, he's not like awkward, right? Like, he's not like this like weird guy who's just kind of off to himself and just doesn't know how to talk to girls. Like, he's clearly like doing fine on the date. And I know you're probably right with Kayla and her motion sickness situation. I remember she was just super like into the dolphins that she probably couldn't even focus on Mo. And I, even before Mo said that, by the way, about her being really into dolphins, I was also pretty confused how excited she was about these dolphins. Was this alarming to you too? Like, that she was super excited about these dolphins?
Yeah, that's part of her personality. It's not my thing, but I see how people find it adorable, question mark?
I'm going to be honest. Like, if I was on a date with someone, right, and they saw, like, a dog in the park. Let's say we're walking through a park and they started freaking out and be like, oh my God, look at the dog. I think that would be a red. I don't know why. I just think that's not my type of human to get that excited over something that like you really have no control over. I don't know. Just my two cents, but,
I'm with you.
I feel like we're similar in that sense. So I was also going to say that I think it's like Cam is to Donald Trump as Kayla is to dolphins, right? Like, it's like that kind of, I feel like if Cam saw Trump like going through the waters and like going up and down, he'd freak out just like that.
Oh, that's great. And I want to say something in response, but I just don't have the energy today.
Just go for it. Just go for it.
I can't.
You camped?
I cam. That's good pretty times. Good. But yeah, before we get to the main part of the date and the twist of fate this week, let's talk about Butza real quick. So Nutza and Brett are, I think, pretty adorable. But Brett can't shake Callie. Do you think that Nutza should be feel any type of way about this? Or like, I'm surprised we're not getting anything from Nutza this whole episode of like, well, I'm gonna move on if Brett doesn't want me first choice.
I would say yes if this was in the real world. I'd be like, oh my God, if you're not the first choice, like, but I feel like in Are You the One that we see this so often where someone can't get over that first initial connection they had with someone. And I'm at the point where I think that it's just a natural thing to say, okay, like, well, like they have to explore that. And if it doesn't work out, we could see where me and that person goes. So like, I would usually say yes, don't be the second choice. But I do think in order for Brett to move on to someone else, he does have to figure this thing out with Callie. And it's bizarre. I don't want anyone ever to feel like they should be a second option. But in this case, I don't think it's an awful thing for her to say, okay, like go figure this out. And then if it's not you're not a perfect match, we'll see where we go.
And I want to give Nutza a lot of credit here too. It's in the same vein as what you're saying, but I think she's handling it really well. And I'm just surprised because of some of the preseason stuff. I think like some of the cast members from last season were starting fights with her over Insta, and it was just like, what's everyone's beef with Nutza? And I have nothing I don't like about her as far as I've seen so far.
No, and she handled this really well, and I'm sure now that Brett is not and Callie are not a perfect match, and I'm sure we'll cover that. I do think we'll see more of Brett and Nutza, and I could see them being a perfect match.
I just wanted to help Brett out here at this moment. Like, when you see Callie making out in a public shower in front of you with a different guy, it's probably time to let it go and move on. But that wasn't enough for him.
No, he needed to, I don't know. I feel like Brett, I still get these weird vibes from Brett after that first situation. I know people make mistakes, but I still like equate him to like, okay, he's the crazy guy who gets ridiculously jealous for no reason. So, I don't know. I was hoping this episode he could kind of redeem himself from that and make it right with Callie, and maybe then I'll be able to move on too. But I don't know. How do you think he handled the initial when they were at the wheel thing and they were like, okay, like choose who you're going to go on a date with? And how do you think he handled that with Callie?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think results oriented, right? It seems selfish. It seems like Callie didn't want it. Callie didn't think they were a match. The house didn't think they were a match. Only Brett thought they were a match. And so it's a waste and it's selfish to like use a truth booth up when you're this far in the process just for your own, like, I need this to move on. But at the same time, we've seen extremely random couples be matches over the past six seasons. And, people not feeling each other anymore doesn't mean they're not a match. So, like, it's probably as good of an attempt as any.
Yeah. And I think that the date wasn't as, like, I thought it was going to be way more, like, kind of uncomfortable. But it seems like Callie was, I feel like if she would have got a second date with Brett, she would have, like, there's a chance she would have kind of swung back to him. Because she was already, like, when they went on the date, she was like, wow, he really likes me, and he's not, and, like, he's kind of, I after revisiting this, I kind of, like, I don't know, I guess she was seeing where, how they had that initial connection. So, I don't know, do you get the vibe that she's 100% into Tomas, or do you think that if they didn't go into the truth booth that, and her and Brett hung out more, there's a chance she could have, like, went back to him?
Yeah, I definitely got that vibe, too, that, like, okay, if they didn't go to the truth booth and it was just a date, maybe there's a chance for them. I believe that Callie was genuine when she said, like, you know, she felt the butterflies too. They did have a connection. Maybe she wrote him off too quickly. I also appreciate that A, they want us to see that story edited that way.
Exactly.
But also B, Callie has nothing to lose here, because if they're a match, then she has to start not liking him, but then that's it. And if they're not a match, then she's lost nothing by entertaining that maybe she cut it off too quickly. I think that Callie, to me, I'm very impressed with Callie, that Callie saw something she didn't like in Brett, cut it off right away, never went back, moved on, played the game, found a connection, grills Tomas, like, says, are you sure you're ready to settle down? Like, ask the tough questions. She seems very confident, very mature, very self-assured. I don't know that she'd actually have gone back to Brett, but I also believe that the little remnants of the feelings were definitely there.
And that, I feel like it's a natural thing. Like, you can't really fault her for that, because when you do make a connection with someone, especially in this weird environment, I feel like it's tough to turn your back on it completely. Now, as for her and Tomas in the future, do you think that, I was like just trying to map out in my head, I'm like, okay, can they like make it work? Let's say they are a perfect match. Will they make it work outside this house? And I think I just go into these questions with like cynicism. I'm like, like probably not, because it's already the one. But like, if you're looking at them from a couple standpoint, there doesn't, minus the whole bed situation, there doesn't seem to be many red flags. Like, he didn't freak out when she went on the date. Like, maybe in his confessional he got upset, but I feel like he was pretty cool with it. Like, he kind of let her do her thing, and then afterwards they kind of just picked up where they left off. So I don't know. I'm like a little hopeful for them outside of this house.
I think they have probably the best shot of the couples right now. I think they have age working against them. I think they probably have geography working against them. I don't remember where they're from. I do think Callie's sincere when she's saying, like, I don't know why anyone would go on the show if they weren't really looking for a relationship. But we both know that almost no one goes on the show looking for a relationship. So that would just be my general concern, like you're saying, that it's already the one. But I'll ship them. I'm shipping them.
Cool. And if we have anyone from the show on our show, I think a good question to ask is like, and I'm actually really interested in this, how many people actually go on looking for love and love only, like not hooking up, like not Instagram followers? I would say it's got to be under 5. Like, I don't think there's more than, and I'm being generous with 5.
Per season, ever on the show?
No, per season.
I mean, look, if you were really just looking for love, you could just date or ask people to set you up or go on Hinge or even pay for a matchmaker, like even go the next mile and do a dating service, you know, whatever. But yeah. I don't think anyone's purely on this show for love, but are there? So I would say 0, but okay. I think it's like people like Callie are probably more serious about being in a relationship. In addition to, it's like people going on Survivor, for no one just goes on Survivor for one reason. Like, the money is great, the fame's great, and the adventure is great. And there's different percentages for each person of how much for each of those things. But I don't think anybody's 100% long-term relationship.
And I think it's like, of course, it varies with the shows. I think Are You the One has a lot of people who are thirsty for Instagram followers. I feel like I would assume that a lot of people go on like The Bachelor and Bachelorette because it has the highest payback when it comes to gaining traction on social media. It definitely differs with the shows, but with Are You the One, I would say, I'm sure it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm going to go on, gain some followers, and if I meet someone, cool, but at least I get to hook up with a bunch of very good looking people. I feel like that's like the mindset that people go into it with.
I mean, it happens, gets discussed a lot on Love Island, which everyone knows I'm obsessed with now, where people are, and I guess this happens on every show, Bachelor in Paradise, whatever, like you're saying, like, I never thought I'd really meet somebody on the show. Like, Brett, like, I never thought I'd really meet my wife, but if I met someone, that'd be great.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, well, just to eat a gummy vitamin. I don't know why, this of all times.
It's a solid time, I think, to eat a gummy vitamin. I feel like there's not many better times.
Maybe when you don't have to, like, record that you're talking. Let's get Brett's perspective on this, because he did tweet last night about why he picked Callie. He said, all right, I'll speak for this once real quick for the haters on tonight's episode. Callie and I both had feelings for each other in this house. Just because I'm picking to go into the truth booth with her doesn't necessarily mean it's who I like in the house at that moment. We sat together at ceremony more than once. She could be my match for this game, and she felt the exact same way, but y'all didn't see the talks we had on that. Us going into the truth booth helped the entire house either way, because now those early beams where we sat together were in us. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's I'm not angry at that. I think that's what he said seems right.
So let's talk about, and we're kind of going in reverse here, but they changed the fate button up where the men got to, I mean, I guess inexplicably, although Taryn says it's because they've been doing a better job, question mark. fate chooses the guys, and then the guys get to choose the girls. Did you like this change, twist of fate?
I think if we were given like a chance to do this all season or just kind of let fate decide with the producer button, like, I feel like this is probably what I'd rather, because at least you let the guys, like, we would have never known that Mo was into Kayla, you know, and maybe he's told the producers that and they would have figured that out, but I think we got to see that this episode and see Mo actually take charge and do something. I don't know if we would have seen, like, if it was random, we might have seen Brett in the day with Nutza, but now we got to see him kind of explore the Callie. So I do like that, because it gives them a little power, and I feel like we've been talking about, okay, like, they need to make some decisions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I really think that if they had to have the fate button, this is how it should have been the whole time. I am curious to see if this is how it will be going forward. I hope the answer is yes. And this is sort of what we've been asking for when, in terms of like hiding the invisible hand of production. Like, okay, so production's going to pick the two people, but then they have agency to pick who they want. And clearly production knows who they're going to pick, but at least it seems like there's some agency.
Yeah, no, I like this. If we're going to move, I hope. But the thing is, if we go on Terrence's theory, where he's like, well, you guys did good, but now they, this week, I don't know how it's, based on the matchup ceremony, I don't know how that's going to play into, like, what's their excuse for giving them this fate choosing thing next week?
Well, I think that this could have been the transition, right? Like, you guys can be trusted. You've gotten up to three or four beams, and now you're on your own, even if, like, I don't think going back to one beam sets you back. But we'll see. I don't know. I would find it challenging that they'd be able to, like, have the men pick, but then next week the women don't get to pick.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Wouldn't be surprised, but I would be like...
Yeah, no, who knows? Well, I guess we'll see.
I think, though, I really miss the challenges. I think, on the whole, it's interesting. I was going to ask you this later, but I'm going to ask you now. Brian mentioned yesterday, I don't think the podcast has been posted yet. Hopefully by the time, well, definitely by the time this one's posted, it will have been posted. But he just, like, randomly remarked that he's really enjoying the season. And then I was like, do you want to follow up? And he was like, no. And then today I got a text from my friend Molly Block, friend of the podcast, Molly Block, who just randomly was sort of like, I really dislike this season. And in talking to her, I think I agree with her. I think on the whole, this is one of the slower seasons of Aria the One. And I think it directly traces back to the change in the format with the removing the challenges and instituting the fate button. But I'm wondering, on the Brian to Molly spectrum, where you fall.
I'm not a huge fan of this season. Like, I really like six. I don't know. There's something, I feel like maybe I'm just off with this. Like, I really like the one episode with the exes, but when it comes to, like, the flow of this season, I just feel like it's off, and I don't know how to explain that further in detail. I'm just, there is something off about the season that I'm not enjoying extremely, as much as I did with season six.
I really do think the challenge really improved the pacing, whereas now we're just seeing the story that would have been maybe one or two scenes with the challenge is now like five scenes broken up, spliced together. And Aria the One was always sort of like that, but I do think the challenge set a nice pace for the episode, that you had your big mile markers. You have your challenge, you have the date, you have the treat booth, you have the matchup. And now I feel like we kind of have a mosh of nothing, and then we have the matchup. I mean, we still have truth with, obviously, but it just seems very anticlimactic because we usually don't have a couple going in that's exciting to see the results.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic, and I think it's, I wonder why they changed it up. Like, obviously, we've talked about the producer influence thing, but I enjoy, and we've talked to this so many times, that we enjoy the silly challenges. And even if I know it gave them power, but beyond that, it was just, it's kind of funny and ridiculous to watch. Like, I think that's why I enjoyed the overnight with the exes, because it was just thing different. It was kind of ridiculous and entertaining to watch. And I don't know, maybe they could replace it if there's a next season with something new. But I do kind of wish we had the challenges again.
Yeah, I mean, I think a good thing about Are You the One is also a bad thing in terms of this season, is that producers are always willing to try something new. They play with the format every season. They had the 11th girl. They had, you know, they mix it up. They're not afraid. They're always looking for a way to change the show. They added 11 couples. You know, I think they're not afraid to change the format up, which I like, especially for a show that hasn't been on that many seasons. So sometimes things don't work. And I think them changing it to letting the button choose the men and the men choose the women, it shows a willingness to adapt. Maybe they felt it wasn't working. Maybe it was planned the whole time. Either way, I don't think, luckily for us, Are You the One's willingness to change the format can just be season to season, and they are never married to the concept. So hopefully this is a one-time thing.
Yeah, and maybe this season will get like crazier. Do you think it has anything to do with the characters? Like, are you not in love with this group of people?
Yeah, that's something Molly mentioned, that one of her reasons is she's just not invested in any of the couples. I don't think I am either, and I do think part of that, but I like the individuals, but I do think part of it is, like, we're not actively rooting for anyone in the challenges. Like, I do think we get, like, a cutesy side of the couple working together in a challenge, and actually actively rooting for the couple to win, to go on the date, to go on the truth booth. Now it's just sort of like, well, it doesn't matter who goes in. Production's going to decide. It's probably not going to be a match. And I'm not really invested in too many of the couples. And, you know, that sentence went nowhere. But
I get what you're saying, though. And I think I feel like I'm always invested in the crazies, like the good crazies. And then there's like the bad crazies. I feel like this season we're kind of get like more of the bad crazies, where it's like, okay, like what you're doing is also coming across as extremely unhealthy. So I think that has something to do with it. I love watching people self implode, but only when it's like for good TV and not for like, wow, this could affect you in the real world. So hopefully it turns around. But I'm also on the same page with you that it's not my favorite season.
It also started off so hot with all the Bria and Zach stuff, and it popped off so quickly, and it was just 300 degrees, like, from the very beginning, and it's really just cooled to almost nothing.
No, I exactly, and maybe we'll get some, you know, last week we had, like, a funny, like, situation with Bria and Zach. Maybe we'll get some more Bria going off, but I don't know, she's kind of, this week she kind of faded into the background.
We get teasers for next week that there's going to be some issue with Morgan and Zach. That, I'm here for that. I don't like Morgan and Zach.
No, I'm not a fan of Morgan and Zach, but I do watching drama with them.
Stephen Lean asked about do we feel for Mo? So we talked about that, but thank you for the question. Yeah. Let's talk about the matchup, because I think it's the perfect segue from us talking about not being invested in the couples. Because this matchup definitely has all of the strong couples paired together and resulted in only four beams. So let's go couple by couple and talk about, you know, do we care if they're a match? Do we think they're a match? Let's like really break it down for the first time this season.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I do think that, I don't know, have we ever really gotten like deep into like the strong couples? Like, maybe it's like a good midway point for us. Like, oh, it's week 7 or whatever it is. Let's break down the couples and who are strong and see if we think they're a perfect match or not.
Yeah, we could do a little stock watch. Are we buying or selling these couples?
I like it. Let's do it.
First, though, Terrence always has something strange, a strange interaction with Maria and Shamoy. I think he just doesn't know what to say to them anymore. Like, telling them they look like they just got off a jet ski is a tremendous insult.
What was that?
They probably spent the whole day getting ready for this. Like, this is the only time they're on TV.
That's what I was thinking. It's like when you tell someone, "Oh, you look tired." It's like, okay, well, thanks, jerk. Like he's like, they just look like they got off a jet ski. And then what does that mean? Like their hair's messy. Like their clothes are like wet. Like I don't understand what that means. Yeah, like what does that mean?
Yeah, and look, they must be extremely boring in the honeymoon suite. Yeah. And I no disrespect to them. Like I don't know how you're entertaining the honeymoon suite, but we have not gotten a honeymoon suite clip since they got there. And that's very unusual for either one.
And they didn't even speak this week. They like, Terrence said that they laughed, kind of like gave like a half smile. And then like they just moved on like that. And like, I know you said no disrespect to them, but it does feel like they probably are boring if they're not even getting any talking time.
I mean, look, maybe they've like decided they're just friends or something and they don't want that on the show. Like, who knows? But it's pretty boring. I'm more mean no disrespect to them, because if I were just like on vacation, I would be like, what are they going to do? Fight? Like, I'd be sipping Mai Tais and, you know, reading Us Weekly. I wouldn't be like fighting true. With Shamoy.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
All right, so let's open this Stockwatch for Business here. We start with Lauren and Andrew, a couple we've seen bond over small cows and big cows in small towns. What do you think of Lauren and Andrew?
We haven't really like gotten to know either of them based like aside from Lauren falling off that horse and them both being from similar towns and both being extremely white individuals. I think we haven't really seen much more than that. So I really don't know what to base it off. Every time Andrew speaks in the confessional, it annoys me. I just feel like he's trying to like speak to an audience of millions and like act like he's a motivational speaker. I'm not a huge fan of how he kind of carries himself in the confessional, but I would say that they're a perfect match because we're not really seeing anything anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who was Brittany's perfect match. I'm Googling it, so I'm not going to put you on the spot for that. Was
Brittany season 3?
Was it Hunter?
I don't remember. See, I'm super, like, I feel
there's
like
there's no reason anyone memory, should I'm, remember this. I just,
yeah, but I feel like if there's anyone, it should be us, and we're not, we don't remember our exact season 3 details, so we have to buff up on our history.
It was Austin, who people probably don't even remember on the show. I do.
Yeah, I don't remember him much. I don't remember him a lot. Like I vaguely remember him.
Here's why I bring it up. I just think it would be so easy and so not Are You the One to just have the two white country people be a match. Like
right?
they're. It would be so basic and so boring and so just like everything they're used to. And I just, it's not really on brand for Are You the One, which is why I'm selling it. And especially we haven't really got a convincing connection from either of them. Although both of them are growing on me individually. The few times we do see Andrew, he's definitely growing on me a little bit. Lauren also with her conversation with Mo. But as a couple, I just don't think this is not usually why the matchmakers would put people together.
I just feel like if there were another, and I don't know how many episodes there are left. I'm assuming there's a ton, based on like just how last season went. How long
we usually get 10 matchups, so this is the 6th, so they'll have 4 more opportunities. Whether or not that means 4 more episodes, who knows?
I just feel like that we haven't seen anything else from them. We haven't seen them try to build any other connections. So it kind of worries me that they're just kind of like, okay, it's easy just to put them together, paint this picture extremely like in a very simple manner, and then just move from there.
Yeah. All right. So next one. So I'm selling. What are you selling?
I'm buying. I'm buying.
Oh, you're buying. You're buying. All right. I can make some money on that. So let's talk about Butsa. I like Butsa, but okay. I think her name is Butsa.
Yeah, I think it's to pay respect to her cultural, like whatever situation she's in. It's good to say Butsa.
I'm buying Butsa. I think that Brett's on the come down from Cali. Nutsa and Brett have sort of a common silliness. They like chasing each other. He pushes her in the pool. They just have like a playful. They're just playful with each other. I like it. I'm buying them and saying that they're one of these beams.
No, I think especially after we saw Callie and Brett not be a match, I'm buying this as well. I think that there's a solid shot that Butsa ends up together on the show. After the show, probably no chance. But on the show, yeah, I'm buying.
Yeah, that's interesting. Long term, no chance. I agree with you completely. Sell them in the long term.
Yeah, but for the show, we're both buying.
Yeah, so we're gonna short. We'll short Nutza and Brett. I don't know. I'm taking accounting now, so I think I know things about financing. But anyway, let's talk about Kayla and Cam. Make relationships great again.
Now for the show and like the sole purpose of like where they're both at, I'm just trying to like also look into the edit a bit. Are they building them up so like so much, but also showing her little relationships with Mo and Kwasi to kind of say like, okay, like we also could throw her elsewhere if need be, like she could be someone else's match. Now I don't know. I just based on how easy it was for Cam to kind of throw away Kayla when Callie was showed him a little bit of interest, I'm going to go and sell this couple. I just think, first of all, I'm buying too many, so I want to sell this one. But beyond that, I just think that with how the show's going, I feel like they're setting it up to be a big fall.
Yeah, I'm buying them, not just to be contrary. But I just think they want us to like Cam so much, and part of it is probably to overcome the Trump stuff, but I'm buying them in three ways. I'm buying them because I think they're a match. I'm buying them because I'm between four people, I think, are these three beams. That's not great, but okay. I'm buying them because I think they're a match. I'm buying them because I think at this point they're going to last to the end together. Like, I don't think they're going to stray again. I guess I'm selling them in the long term, but I could see them actually being like the Alyssa and Sam. Like, we stayed together and it didn't work out. Like, that they at least try somewhat to be together.
I think he's also trying real hard to be like that nice guy because he knows how he's going to be perceived. And he wants to be like the knight in shining armor. Like, he just screams, like, I'm a white knight. Like, that's what I get with him. But I could see them lasting outside the show. And I could see them lasting because, I don't know, I feel like Kayla, like, we've talked about her past, and she and Cam does seem to respect her a little bit. So, based on what we're seeing on a TV show that's edited, I think that we could see them after the show together, despite if they're a perfect match or not. I just don't think they're a match. I don't.
I'm going to make a very specific prediction and say that we're going to get to the reunion, and they're going to ask if they're still together, and she's going to, like, have a sad face on and be like, I did everything I could. Like, I texted him. I went to visit him at school. Like, I was there for him, and da-da-da. And he is going to be very, like, I think he might use the word needy. He will say sorry, but not actually apologize for anything. And he will blame being a busy, career-oriented law student with political ambition.
I would actually, if I had to like bet my life on that happening word for word exactly how you said it, or like bet my life that it won't happen, I would say that yes, that exactly like that situation will go down.
Well, I hope you don't have to bet your life on it, but yeah, like I I'm ready for the reunion.
Yeah, and if I'm not here, then you know that's exactly what happened, and I died because I bet my life on it.
All right, Bria and Lewis, not a long-standing couple, but what do you think about this pair?
I don't really know where Lewis could be, you know, like, I don't know who he could be with, but I don't know. I think we know enough about them for me to buy them at this point.
I'm going to sell Bria and Lewis. I don't think they're a match. I think this is like a marriage of convenience. Understandably, you always have a couple at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the couple that got together in high school that they're like still together like 6 years later, and they're like, yeah, I guess we'll get married, but like, I wonder what else is out there, but it's easy if we just stay together. Like, they're just like, like, we're both here, so let's make it work. But I don't see this lasting long at all.
What about Asia and Kwasi, also kind of a new pair?
We've seen them kind of like talking in the past, and like, I feel like there might be a connection there. I don't know. I feel weird with buying, since we know there's only four beams, buying too much, because especially when I'm not entirely sure, but I think they have more potential than, Lewis and, Bria.
Yeah. They're certainly not as random. We see Asia sort of talking Kwasi off the Cam fight earlier in the episode. I just am still shipping Mo and Asia. That I think I'm selling Kwasi in hopes for Mo and Asia.
I'm bored with that. I'll sell Kwasi and Asia as well.
All right. We said we were shipping this couple, but are we buying or selling Callie and Tomas?
I'm gonna buy. I'm going to buy with them. I just feel like they have a really nice connection. They make out openly in showers. That shows a level of comfortability that's unmatched. There's nothing else with Brett. We don't know if there's any other connections in the house with either of them, but it seems like they're pretty committed to one another. So I'm going to buy.
Yeah, it's a full buy for me as well. Unanimous buy.
Cool. It's a best buy.
All right, let's talk about Morgan and Zach. I have a feeling this won't turn out as well as it did for Callie and Tomas.
No, I think you've mentioned this in the past with the edit. Like, I feel like they're kind of building it up, and I just don't get, like, I feel like you could tell when a couple is comfortable with one another. I just don't get that vibe with them. I feel like there's something off there, so I'm going to sell this couple.
Yeah, I'm selling them also. I don't like them. It's personal. They could be a match. I don't care.
Nice. I like that you're letting your personal feelings affect your gameplay. It's so big brother of you.
All right, let's talk about Kenya and Tevin, third to last here on the list.
I forgot all about them. I feel like we haven't seen them in a few weeks. Go first for this one. I need more time to think.
I'm gonna sell them, but I think they're a match. I just think they're really overvalued right now. I think a lot of people assume they're a match. People have operated under the assumption they're a match. So I think they're probably selling a little bit too high right now. So they sell a little bit, but I still think they're a match.
I'm gonna sell, and I don't think they're a match. I think everyone's assuming. I'm so cynical with these shows. I think when everyone assumes something, it's wrong. So I'm just gonna say that they're gonna have a hard fall from grace, which, as crappy as it is for them, it's gonna be fun to watch.
And I'm famously gullible with the editing of the show, and no matter how many seasons I watch, how many seasons I podcast, I will always root for, like, the couple that gets together early, all the couples that get together early and break up, that they'll get back together, that they'll be a match. Like, I was rooting for Brett and Callie to be a match, even though I don't think they'd be good together. I just like to follow the storyline from the beginning and root for all of them.
Wow, that's admirable.
No dice. Never happens. Never works out.
Hey, I'm sure it'll happen eventually. By season 14, it'll probably happen.
Still hoping for Jess and Layton to be a match, but the second. Samantha throwback. And Daniel, the last big couple, because we have Samantha and Daniel, and then we have Jasmine and Mo.
I still think Samantha's Lewis's match. I will stand by that just based on that one little segment we got the first episode. So I'm going to sell because I think Samantha and Lewis are a match. Yeah, I'm really holding on for that one.
There you go. I'm going to sell them. I've lost faith that they're a match. I don't know. They're just not. Once I see only four beams and they have the other strong couples with them, I don't think they're a match.
Yeah, we haven't seen Prison Mike, by the way. She hasn't worn that purple bandana, which is super disappointing.
I will say, though, about this, I think that Samantha and Daniel are most likely to still be together at the reunion of everyone.
Is there a reason that you're saying this?
No.
Okay. Yeah, cool. No, go for it.
And then Jasmine and Mo, you buying or selling? The price is rock bottom for Jasmine and Mo.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even, like, realize that they were... I just saw them walking back to their seats. Like, I didn't even know there was, like, a situation there. So I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to buy. You're right. This is probably, like, the cheapest couple I will ever be able to afford. So I'm gonna buy on the off chance that we'll look back at this podcast and be like, oh, Adam, you were right.
Yeah, I'm going to sell because I'm on a very strict income with my student loans, but I think that was a good deal.
Makes sense. No, that I think you're playing it smart here, but yeah, I'm going to buy and hope for the... Because even if I'm wrong, nobody's going to remember I was wrong, but they will remember if I'm right.
So I think that's a fun place to leave it. I didn't pull tweets because we were going to have a guest on the show, so we prepped for the guest, and I figured they didn't want to sit through their peers' tweets. So we're hopefully going to have a guest in the future, and I will always prepare tweets in the future for backup. Just in case.
I think it was a last minute situation. So not pulling tweets was the proper way to go. And I feel like we've also talked about this for longer than I expected. It's almost an hour. This boring episode, that just shows how top notch Are You the One fans we are. We really drug everything out of this as we could.
Or how boring this podcast will be. We'll see. I think I had fun.
Yeah. I had fun too, but for people listening, yeah, you'll probably be a little bored. But you know what? We had fun, so that's all that matters.
All right, if you weren't bored and you made it this far, please leave us a review at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Really help us out. Let us know you're there, that you're listening to Are You the One. If you're listening to the challenge, let us know you're listening to that too. That's fine. Not just fine, that's great. You can Rob is the website.com/challenge iTunes. I just said slash like the biggest Jersey person I know.
Slash.
You can follow me at Lash Tweets, and you can follow Adam
at Adam Bongo.
And we will be back next week to keep it going, covering week 8 of Ari DeWan. Thanks, guys.
Have a good week.